I think the human race and its DNA will increase its complexity quite rapidly. We should recognize that this is likely to happen and consider how we'll deal with it. In a way, the human race needs to improve its mental and physical qualities if it's to deal with the increasingly complex world around it and meet new challenges such as space travel. Humans also need to increase their complexity if biological systems are to keep ahead of electronic ones. At the moment, computers have the advantage of speed, but they show no sign of intelligence. And this is not surprising, because our present computers are less complex than the brain of an earthworm, a species not noted for its intellectual powers. But computers obey what is known as Moore's Law. Their speed and complexity double every 18 months. It's one of those exponential growths that clearly can't continue indefinitely. However, it will probably continue until computers have a complexity similar to that of the human brain. Some people say that computers can never show true intelligence, whatever that may be. But it seems to me that if very complicated chemical molecules can operate in humans to make them intelligent, then equally complicated electronic circuits can also make computers act in an intelligent way. And if they're intelligent, they can presumably design computers that have an even greater complexity and intelligence. Will this increase of biological and electronic complexity go on forever, or is there a natural limit? On the biological side, the limit on human intelligence up to now has been set by the size of the brain that will pass through the birth canal. Having watched my three children being born, I know how difficult it is for the head to get out. But within the next 100 years, I expect we'll be able to grow babies outside the human body, so this limitation will be removed. Ultimately, however, increases in the size of the human brain through genetic engineering will come up against the problem that the body's chemical messengers, responsible for our mental activity, are relatively slow-moving. This means that further increases in the complexity of the brain will be at the expense of speed. We can be quick-witted or very intelligent, but not both. Still, I think we can become a lot more intelligent than most of the people in Star Trek. Not that that might be difficult. Electronic circuits have the same complexity versus speed problem as the human brain. In this case, however, the signals are electrical, not chemical, and travel at the speed of light, which is much higher. Nevertheless, the speed of light is already a practical limit on the design of faster computers. One can improve the situation by making the circuits smaller, but ultimately there'll be a limit set by the atomic nature of matter. Still, we have some way to go before we meet that barrier. Another way in which electronic circuits can increase their complexity while maintaining speed is to copy the human brain. The brain does not have a single CPU, central processing unit, that processes each command in sequence. Rather, it has millions of processors working together at the same time. Such massively parallel processing will be the future for electronic intelligence as well. Assuming we don't destroy ourselves in the next 100 years, it is likely that we'll spread out first to the planets in the solar system and then to the nearby stars. But it won't be like Star Trek or Babylon 5, with a new race of nearly human beings in almost every stellar system. The human race has been in its present form for only 2 million years out of 15 billion years or so since the Big Bang. The biological-electronic interface. Within 2 decades, a $1,000 computer may be as complex as the human brain. Parallel processors could mimic the way our brain works and make computers act in intelligent and conscious ways. Neural implants may allow a much faster interface between the brain and computers, dissolving the distance between biological and electronic intelligence. In the near future, most business transactions will probably be made between cyber personalities via the World Wide Web. Within a decade, many of us may even choose to live a virtual existence on the net, forming cyber friendships and relationships. Our understanding of the human genome will undoubtedly create great medical advances, but it will also enable us to increase the complexity of the human DNA structure significantly. In the next few 100 years, human genetic engineering will replace biological evolution, redesigning the human race and posing entirely new ethical questions. Space travel beyond our solar system will probably require either genetically engineered humans or unmanned computer-controlled probes. So even if life develops in other stellar systems, the chances of catching it at a recognizably human stage are very small. Any alien life we encounter will likely be either much more primitive or much more advanced. If it is more advanced, why hasn't it spread through the galaxy and visited Earth? If aliens had come here, it should have been more obvious, more like the film Independence Day than E.T. So how does one account for our lack of extraterrestrial visitors? It could be that there is an advanced race out there which is aware of our existence, but is leaving us to stew in our own primitive juices. However, it is doubtful it would be so considerate to a lower life form. Do most of us worry about how many insects and earthworms we squash underfoot? A more reasonable explanation is that there is a very low probability either of life developing on other planets or of that life developing intelligence. Because we claim to be intelligent, though perhaps without much ground, we tend to see intelligence as an inevitable consequence of evolution. However, one can question that. It's not clear that intelligence has much survival value. Bacteria do very well without intelligence and will survive us if our so-called intelligence causes us to wipe ourselves out in a nuclear war. So, as we explore the galaxy, we may find primitive life, but we're not likely to find beings like us. The future of science won't be like the comforting picture painted in Star Trek, a universe populated by many humanoid races with an advanced but essentially static science and technology. Instead, I think we'll be on our own, but rapidly developing in biological and electronic complexity. Not much of this will happen in the next 100 years, which is all we can reliably predict. But by the end of the next millennium, if we get there, the difference from Star Trek will be fundamental. Chapter 7. Brain New World. Do we live on a brain, or are we just holograms? How will our journey of discovery proceed in the future? Will we succeed in our quest for a complete unified theory that will govern the universe and everything that it contains? In fact, as described in Chapter 2, we may have already identified the theory of everything, TOE, as M-theory. This theory doesn't have a single formulation, at least as far as we know. Instead, we've discovered a network of apparently different theories which all seem to be approximations to the same underlying fundamental theory in different limits, just as Newton's theory of gravity is an approximation to Einstein's general theory of relativity in the limit that the gravitational field is weak. M-theory is like a jigsaw. It's easiest to identify and fit together the pieces round the edges of the jigsaw, the limits of M-theory where some quantity or other is small. We now have a fairly good idea of these edges, but there is still a gaping hole at the center of the M-theory jigsaw where we don't know what's going on. We can't really claim to have found the theory of everything until we have filled that hole. What is in the center of M-theory? Will we discover dragons or something equally strange, like on old maps of unexplored lands? Our experience in the past suggests we're likely to find unexpected new phenomena whenever we extend the range of our observations to smaller scales. At the beginning of the 20th century, we understood the workings of nature on the scales of classical physics, which is good from interstellar distances down to about 1/100 of a millimeter. Classical physics assumes that matter is a continuous medium, with properties like elasticity and viscosity. But evidence began to emerge that matter is not smooth, but grainy. It's made of tiny building blocks called atoms. The word atom comes from Greek and means indivisible, but it was soon found that atoms consisted of electrons orbiting a nucleus made up of protons and neutrons. The work on atomic physics in the first 30 years of the 20th century took our understanding down to lengths of 1/1000000 of a millimeter. Then we discovered that protons and neutrons are made of even smaller particles called quarks. Our recent research on nuclear and high-energy physics has taken us to length scales that are smaller by a further factor of 1 billion. It might seem that we could go on forever discovering structures on smaller and smaller length scales. However, there is a limit to this series, as there is to the series of Russian dolls within Russian dolls. Eventually, one gets down to a smallest doll, which can't be taken apart anymore. In physics, the smallest doll is called the Planck length. To probe to shorter distances would require particles of such high energy that they were inside black holes. We don't know exactly what the fundamental Planck length is in M-theory, but it might be as small as a millimetre divided by 100,000 billion, billion, billion.